Looking back at Psalm 56, we had looked at that psalm a few weeks ago. We didn't get completely through it because of the strictures of time, which are often upon us. Beginning in verse 9 of Psalm 56, we read this: "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Now, the order of things is an important matter. And it is often in the thinking of men that the order of things gets turned around. If you hitch up a horse to a cart and you put the cart in front of the horse, you're not going to go very far because you got to have the cart hooked behind the horse. And modern theology and erroneous theology puts the cart ahead of the horse and often makes the order of things to be reversed. God is the first cause of all things. Now, that's a simple thing to say, but it is not a simple thing to grasp, nor is it a simple thing to accept. But it doesn't make any difference whether or not we accept it. It makes a difference that it's true. And as Brother Al said, it doesn't make any difference what science says about how things were created. It really makes no difference at all. And we shouldn't be amazed that the world doesn't believe the account that is in the Scriptures. Why would they? How could they? How could you? The Scripture is very plain. Paul says that it is by faith that we understand that the world was created out of things which did not appear. That's the only way a man will ever believe what's in this book. You can argue with a man till you're blue in the face, and if God doesn't give him faith to believe that this is true, he will never believe it. And you won't either. Keep that in mind. Now, if you wonder, and if you get exasperated with people that don't believe what this book says, just remember that the only reason you believe it is because God, who's rich in mercy, has shown you that these things are true. Amen. And when God has shown a man that these things are true, who can take that away from him? It doesn't matter what happens to us, nor does it matter what men think of us. If the Word of God is the Word of God, and we believe that it is. Now, see, a lot of times people go to great lengths to prove that the Bible is the Word of God. Well, dear brethren, you can't prove that the Bible is the Word of God to the sufficiency of a man believing that it's coming and saying, "Oh, well, now you've convinced me it's the Word of God." You'll never do it. I mean, you can read every book that's ever been written about proving that the Bible is the Word of God, and it won't do a bit of good. But God, who's rich in mercy, when He opens a man's eyes to see that it is the Word of God, then nothing can change that. Nothing can turn him away from it. I mean, he's drawn back to it like a moth is drawn to a flame, and he goes around it, and it consumes him. He's not interested in what men say about it. Now, this is ultimately the reason, I believe, that as the world goes on, that the people of God will be persecuted and hated even more so than they are in a general sense. Because as the knowledge of man increases in the earth, the lack of knowledge that there is of these things, because God has ordered it that way. It has been ordered that way. The wise and the prudent are not given these things, but unto babes does he reveal the things of God. And so as man increases in his knowledge, then the likelihood that men will embrace the things of God grows slimmer and slimmer. Now God can, in a moment, he could convert the whole world if he's so pleased to do, but it does not appear to me from the scripture that that is going to occur, but rather the opposite. That as time goes on, the Lord Jesus said, when the Lord comes, shall he find faith in the earth? That's a rhetorical question. And the rhetorical answer is no. I mean, that it's not that more and more people are believing. Now, more and more people are religious. I mean, you've got, more and more religious people. I mean, there's religion all over the world, and religion is in vogue in a lot of places. You know, it's become a topic of question. Do you pray when you make a touchdown? Is that good? I mean, do you pray when you make a touchdown? Well, do all things to the glory of God. You don't have to make a show of it, however. But I mean, all things to the people of God are done for the glory of God. But so, you know, religious shows are the easiest thing that men can do. I can go around and tell you how holy I am and how much I pray and how much I read the Bible and all of these things. I can tell you all these things. But that doesn't mean anything. Because the Lord would have men to worship him in spirit and truth. And the only way that will occur is if the Lord, who's rich in mercy, visits a man and brings that pass in him. It won't occur because he thinks that he might want to do that or want to be that way. So, getting the cart ahead of the horse. Now, I believe that you have to go down to verse 13, which is the last verse in the Scripture. And the Lord often reverses the order of things in the Scriptures, because as man would say what it is that is produced, it is as he understands what it is that's produced that he comes back to the place where he knows that it began. And so it is that all that he said before this, the beginning of it is in verse 13. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." Now, religion and the natural understanding of men says this, that you do some things and then God will deliver you from death. Isn't that the way that modern thought is? Well, here God said, do these things. Now, if you'll do this, then you'll get this result. Now, that's how the natural man thinks. Now, David said up here, he says, in God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Now, the natural man, in his thinking about the order of things, he says, well, a man has put his trust in the Lord, and therefore the Lord will deliver him from death. I mean, wouldn't you say that would be a fair representation of how the average person, if you ask them how it is that a man's delivered from death, they'd say it's because he put his trust in the Lord. That's not what David said. He said this. He said, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." You see, the result of having been delivered from death is that a man puts his trust in the Lord. Because dead men don't trust anybody. Now, a man who's dead in trespasses and sins is not going to call upon the Lord. He's not going to trust the Lord. He's not going to praise the Lord in His Word, is he? But he says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." Now, if he has delivered our soul from death, what does he say? "Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling?" I know people that will tell you, "Oh, brother, you better stay faithful. Because if you don't, you're going to ultimately perish. It's up to you. You better do it." That's not what David said. He said, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." You have delivered me from death. I'm alive in Christ. Therefore, what? Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Is that not the work of the Lord in a man? To keep him from falling because he has been delivered from death. Now there is no doubt, dear brethren, that there is a preservation of the saints and there is a perseverance of the saints. And it is vitally important that we understand that both of those concepts are taught in the Scripture. But it is of the ultimate importance that we know what the order in those things is. Now the Lord said, "If he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Now, man would take that and he'd say, "Okay, see there? You better endure to the end." Now there's no question about it. It is necessary for a man to endure to the end. But dear brethren, well look what David said. He said, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Therefore will you not keep me from falling." Isn't that what Paul said? "Faithful is he which calleth you, who will also do it. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day." Till that final day. Now dear brethren, that in some ways is a very simple thing, but it is a very vital message that is most often overlooked in the present day. You can turn the radio and the TV on and you can find men without exception, without fail, telling you what you need to do to remain faithful. What you need to do this, and what you need to do to please the Lord, and what you need to do, and how you need to do it. There is no shortage of those that tell you how you need to do it. But there is a great shortage of those that will tell you without any question about it that if you do any of those things, it's because God has begun a good work in you. And He will perform it. And dear brethren, this is the place of our comfort. You see, I don't take any comfort in knowing that it is necessary for me to endure to the end. I don't have any comfort in that. Because if I look at that long enough and I don't know the fact that He's begun a good work and will perform it, I'll get depressed pretty quick. Because I know that left to myself, dear brethren, I'll depart tomorrow. I mean, I'll sit there and I'll go to the camp of those that say, "Well, science must be right." Now, why is it that a man studies the Word of God his whole life, goes to school, becomes a professor, and then he comes up with the idea, well, none of this stuff's true. Why is that? Because God never began a work in him. David said, I will praise thy word. He said, in God will I praise thy word. Now, why would David praise his word? Does he mean I'll praise his word for 50 years and then in the last 10 years of my life I'm going to cast it off? Is that what he said? No, he said, I'll praise his word. Why? Because he has begun a good work in me. And he has caused me to love his way. Now, dear brethren, we know this for a fact. That if the Lord is pleased, he can remove himself from us in a moment if he's pleased to do so. But we also have the word of God to tell us that he will not do that to any that he loves in Christ. The Lord doesn't play games with men. But he works in us both the will and to do of his good pleasure, and he gives us a love for the things of God. And he does not give us a love for the things of God temporarily. Now, he sometimes gives men a love of religion. The Lord told the woman at the well. Now, the woman at the well had a love of religion, didn't she? She brought it up real quick when she found out the Lord was a Jew. I mean, she wanted him to know real quick, hey, I tell you, that's not how we believe. No, sir. See, my religion, it tells me. You ever heard anybody say, well, my Bible says this. You know, what they mean is, buddy, you better listen to what I'm saying because this is what the truth of the matter is. Well, it's not my Bible. It's not your Bible. It's the Word of God. And we'll praise the Word of God in whatever it says. And whatever God gives us understanding of, we'll bow down before Him and worship Him. And it tells us that we don't have any understanding apart from Him. But it's not about, you see, it's not about a man claiming to believe something. Now, I know that, we have gone through, and most all of us have been raised up and seen this played out before our eyes, that the predominant mindset is that a man makes a decision to follow the Lord, and all things result or occur as a result of what he did. And you often hear people stand up and give what they call a testimony that is not a testimony about what God did, but it's a testimony about what they did. And they say, because they did this, God did this. Well, dear brethren, God doesn't do things because you do things. You do things because God does things. Now, that's a simple matter, is it not? But it is a vital matter. And it is ultimately important that a man have a grasp of that understanding, or he is in error. He does not know the way of God. He does not know the working of God. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Now, I think it's a fair thing to say that because man is natural in his beginning, he often thinks in his beginnings, in the faith, that he's the one that brought things to pass. I mean, when the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I mean, the man, if he says, I believe. I mean, because he does believe. I mean, if the Spirit of God works in him, he does believe, does he not? And in his infancy and in his fleshly understanding of things, if you ask him at that point in time, well, did you believe? He'd say, yeah, I believe, because he does believe. If you ask me if I believe the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, yes, I believe it. But you see, the Lord's given me some understanding, and now I know this. The only reason I do believe it is because God showed it to me. Now, I didn't know that maybe to start with right off the bat. But when God, who's rich in mercy, was pleased to continue His work in me, He showed me that. Now, I can understand how a man might not have an understanding of that when he begins his journey with the Lord, but I can't comprehend, dear brethren, how a man can walk very far down the path that he is not brought to that awareness. And any man who goes on down that path, I don't know how far, I can't tell you, but I cannot believe, I can't comprehend it, how a man can go through his whole journey believing that he's the one that brought these things to pass. David certainly did not. And it would appear to me that the testimony of the redeemed of God is they got the order right in their mind, do they not? For thou hast delivered my soul from death. And it is because He has delivered us from death that we will not fall. It is not because, on the other hand, that we don't fall, therefore we don't die. No, we have life. You see, that is the work of the Spirit of God, is to give life unto His people. The Lord Jesus said very simply to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, he was not talking about something that's going to occur the second another time. He's not talking about the same thing that's going to occur twice. What he's talking about, the literal translation of that, except you be born from above. Now, we speak about being born again because it is a second birth. Because he said at Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the water birth is the natural birth. So what he's saying is, yes, a man is born of his mother in a natural birth, but that's not sufficient for a man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, a man can't enter into the kingdom of heaven based simply upon the natural things. He can't just decide in a natural way. He can't be persuaded in a natural way to seek the Lord. But Nicodemus, except a man be born from above, that is, except there come a life-giving force into him that did not exist there before. Except that wind that blows that a man can't see it, but he sees the sound thereof, except that come upon him, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so it is, dear brethren, that life precedes light. You can't have light unless you're alive. A dead man can't see anything. But when a man's given life, then he desires to depart from the dead, does he not? I mean, when Lazarus lay in the tomb as dead as a wedge, he'd been there long enough that he'd started to rot and to putrefy. Now, that's not a good thing to think about, is it? But the Lord, in order to demonstrate exactly what man is by nature, used that when He showed to Mary and Martha and all those other Jews that were gathered around there the power that He had over death. Now, you know, if a man came along and say, I've read about some of these cases of people that's had this Ebola virus over in Africa, and a few of them, they laid them out there and they said, well, this guy's dead. Well, 6 hours later, here he pops up and he's all right. He's not dead. Now, we understand that, do we not? But I guarantee you this, if you saw one of them and he'd been dead for 4 days and his body's bloated up and flies have lit on him and maybe maggots are starting to crawl in and out of his nose or his ears. And that man sat up. You'd think something that just couldn't happen, would you not? Absolutely you would. And so the Lord Jesus, in order to demonstrate the state that man is in by nature and the power that he has over death, not in just the natural sense, but of course to illustrate the spiritual power that he has, he said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, we know that the Lord has power in His Word. Now, sometimes, and we need to be careful about this, and how we understand this, because again, the order of these things is important. Sometimes men talk about preaching the gospel as though the gospel can give a man life. The gospel cannot give a man life. Now, the Lord sometimes uses the gospel in the process of giving a man life, in that the Lord quickens him and causes him to hear the Word of God. Now, that is the way that things happen. And it is, the Lord does sometimes seemingly simultaneously give a man life and quickens him to hear the Word of God in a way that can't be separated. Now, when he spoke to Lazarus, I don't know exactly how this occurred. I know that when the Lord spoke the word, Lazarus heard it. Dead men can't hear, can they? But those who've been made alive by Christ certainly can. And so it was the Word of God from the lips of Christ that awakened this man. The words from the lips of a man will never do that, from a natural man. But the words from the lips of Christ do. And sometimes Christ speaks those words in the same way as He did to Lazarus. But you see, what happened to Lazarus was, when the Lord gave him life, guess what? He didn't want to be in the tomb anymore, did he? I imagine it smelled bad in there. Now, when he was dead, he didn't know it, did he? I mean, if you went out to the graveyard and dug one of those guys up, and you looked at him and said, "Do you like being here?" He wouldn't say anything, probably. I mean, you'd probably run if he did, but he wouldn't say anything. You know he wouldn't say anything. Why? Because he's dead. But here's Lazarus. He comes. I can just picture this. You know, the script says he was still wrapped in the grave clothes. I mean, he was like a mummy, I assume. I don't know how he was, but I can just see him kind of hobbling out of here. And he comes out. And what, Lazarus is alive. But he's still just like he was when he was dead, isn't he? As far as what you can see. I mean, he's like a dead man. I mean, he looked just like he did when he was dead, did he not? I mean, he's still wrapped in the clothes. What did the Lord say? Loose him and let him go. Because you see, the gospel is that which brings life and immortality to light. It is that which comes to the soul of a man that has been awakened by the Spirit of God and causes him to rejoice in that which Christ has done. And Lazarus was made to rejoice in what the Lord had done. Now, we haven't been told a whole lot about what occurred after that. But we do understand that what the Lord did to Lazarus was something that, apart from which, Lazarus would have remained in the tomb. And the order was that he became alive, and then he came out, and not vice versa. Men don't come out. Men don't believe. Men don't receive. Men don't see. Men don't hear. Except the Lord does a work. But oh, when the Lord does that work, you couldn't have kept Lazarus in there for nothing, could you? I mean, he was the living among the dead. He wasn't the dead among the living because he was delivered and he came out. And he went, the Lord will deliver my feet from falling that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Isn't that exactly what happened with Lazarus? I mean, the Lord gave him life. He came out of the tomb and he walked before the Lord. And dear brethren, that's the order which God is pleased to work in His people. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who is it that gets all of the glory in a situation like that? Who? I mean, did the people go up and to Lazarus after he'd come out and say, Lazarus, buddy, we're glad you came out of the grave. Well, you've made a decision to come out of here, out of this grave, that's just going to stay with you for the rest of your life. You made the right choice, buddy. No. They fell on their faces before Christ. They said, depart from us. We're not worthy to be in your presence. This is a glorious thing that thou hast wrought. I mean, there wasn't any doubt, dear brethren. There certainly wasn't any doubt in the mind of Lazarus as to what happened. But there was no doubt in those that witnessed what happened to Lazarus about what had occurred. Now he said, in God, if I put my trust, I will not be afraid what men shall do unto me. This is the work of God, that a man is able to trust the Lord. Trusting the Lord is not an easy thing. It's an impossible thing for the flesh to do. And it's only as the Lord subdues our flesh that we will trust the Lord. Because then we'll trust the arm of the flesh, will we not? I mean, isn't that your natural tendency? When things are, something's happening, something's going on, you say, well, what can I do to solve this? That's just natural. That's the way men are, but dear brethren. There's no solution to it like that. Now, I know everybody says, oh, well, you know, you've got to do all these things. Listen, God's people trust in the Lord. And as they trust in the Lord, I believe the Lord gives them guidance. He gives them a way. He shows them. But He doesn't always deliver them from the problems that they get into. Sometimes we get in situations that we can't be delivered from because it pleases the Lord to put us in that, to bring us to the place He wants us to be. But you see, dear brethren, whether we're walking with our hands in the air praising God and rejoicing, or whether we're walking down the road with our hands hanging down to our knees and our legs are weak, and we find ourselves unable hardly to take another step, the work of God's the same. See, the Lord's not working more in the guy that's praising the Lord than He is in the one whose hands are hanging down if they belong to Him. He's bringing them by a way that they knew not. He's bringing them the path He wants them to go. But you see, what He is doing in every one of them is causing them to trust Him. He's causing them to delight in His Word. To know that there is no other way or deliverance than that which He provides. Brethren, that's a glorious place. He will not. Let's read that again, what David said. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not, or wilt not thou, deliver my feet from falling? He delivered us from death. He'll keep us from falling. And in the bleakest of hours, He is still our helper and our guide. And He will bring us to the place that we may walk before God in the light of the living. Because you see, the light of the living is to understand the way of God. The light of the living. Now, the light of death is that thinks, I tell you what the light, one of the lights of death is, oh, brother, you just got to have faith. Brother, you just got to take the bull by the horns. You just got to pull your bootstraps up. You just got to strap yourself in the saddle and you just got to go on. Oh, no. The light of the living is to know that God alone is the one that can deliver us. And He will keep our feet from falling. And He will not abandon His people. And if He has given us a love for Him, a love for Christ, a love for His Word, He will not forsake us. David said this. He said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. It's never happened. It's never going to be. Brethren, those who are made righteous in Christ shall indeed be delivered. And they shall walk in the light of the living according to the order that God has established in the earth.